Hour number two of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning, reacting to a big Titans win last night. They moved to 4-0 with a 42-16 win against the Buffalo Bills. And Joe, just like Josh Norman, that first hour flew by. I mean, it was unbelievable how quick that first hour went by. Lots to talk about here today with the Titans. Look, I'm just happy that we're coming into a show today and we actually got some football to talk about. It feels good instead of waiting on COVID tests.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
We kind of still are.
Yeah, right? I was going to say. I mean, there's
in addition to that, we have football to talk about.
At some point, if you have, you know, I guess a few more days in a row of nothing, you kind of move on from that. Like, and again, like, then you go afternoons with the people coming off the list.
Yeah.
And that's what you hope to see. You know, if you're the Titans, if you're Titans fans, but really if you're anyone, because you don't want anyone to have COVID-19. So you hope that that is over and even around the league. And maybe this will be a turning point for the league, this whole episode. And then maybe last night will be one of those moments for this team on the way to a pretty special season that they look back. I mean, Mike Vrabel giving the game ball to everybody in the organization, it probably tells you something.
Probably so. I would say that's a pretty good indicator of what that mindset's like right now in that locker room. Joe, you were there last night. You were in the building at Nissan Stadium. A great performance by the Titans, a lot to like. But still defensively, there were some moments that got a little bit hairy. Josh Allen, even though he threw an awful interception to Malcolm Butler in the second half, there were some moments where they moved the ball well. And just the pass rush, it's still struggling to get home. And they had one sack last night. Harold Landry had a big sack, but largely Josh Allen had a lot of time to throw the ball. Even though they're 4-0 and they looked really good last night and were, especially offensively, were very opportunistic, how concerned are you at this point, given the four-game sample size, about the pass rush, or I guess better, the lack of pass rush?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could look at that and say, yeah, but imagine if they had the guy who's just been a force, Jeffrey Simmons, on the field. What does that do? And I think that's a good point, but also they've struggled to get pass rush with him too. I mean, the one thing I'll say about that is Vic Beasley's played one game, and Jeffrey Simmons obviously didn't play last night. And Jadeveon Clowney, it's still early for him. We haven't seen the whole thing totally together, I guess, with some time. So I think it still can get better with those guys. And we saw at the end of the Minnesota game, Beasley, Clowney, Simmons, all of them had big moments there,
right,
to seal that game, which is encouraging.
Which also feels like 6 months ago.
Yes, it does. But, I mean, last night, you know, Landry had, as you said, that sack and really a heck of a play. And other than that, you got – and then he had another hurry. And other than that, you got two other hurries in the entire game. You got Jack Crawford had one. Isaiah Mack had one. You gotta have more from Clowney, from Beasley. I think the good thing about it is I don't look at it like, man, those guys just have no chance. They're ineffective. There's no way. I think you'd rather have those guys than not have them, but those are the guys you look at. Those guys. I mean, Landry, I think is that's a big sack for him. He's had some good moments this year. I think he's been pretty good. Those guys have got to join him. You know, it's what it comes down to. Two guys making good money this year on one-year deals.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston texts in, the Titans had a good pass rush last night as far as rushing the passer is concerned. They aren't getting sacks, but quarterbacks aren't just sitting back there for the most part. They're hurrying quarterbacks at least. I didn't think they really did that all that much last night.
Well, I mean, I think – so on the drive where they tied the game early, 7-7, they got a lot of pressure on him. I'm surprised, by the way. I mean, these QB hurries, I think, are off.
Yeah.
But that's also blitzing. I mean, they blitzed Vaccaro. They blitzed Byard. They blitzed Butler. And I think they blitzed Chris Jackson on the drive as well. So, again, I think some exotic blitzing is great. A little nod to Dean Pease. You know, those things can be really effective, but if you have to do that to get pressure, then we're talking about four-man pressure, and I didn't see much of it at all. And, again, that Yeldon touchdown, the guy could have made and toasted a sandwich in the pocket. And he finally just said, "Ah, let's throw it over to Yeldon for a touchdown." I also think to keep in mind here, so you take that time away, and I know everybody's trying to stay in shape and do all that stuff, but I figured, like, this was a game where time of possession is big for this defense, and they looked very tired. And I think there's a little bit of an excuse there in the time off.
Yeah, and we talk about the difference between, you know, practicing and being in NFL shape for a game. Well, there's a big difference between, you know, working out at home and then practicing for the NFL.
I'm sure Byard's Peloton is really nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great Peloton.
But last night, the funny thing is they're winning and, they're seemingly in control, but the time of possession was way out of whack at one point.
Yeah, it ended up, I think the final numbers were Buffalo had the ball for 32-24, Titans for 27-36. So they closed the gap a little bit down the stretch.
They closed the gap big time.
But at one point, I mean, it was pretty lopsided.
It was at one point, it was 16-5. I know that. So, like, 21 minutes in the game, it was 16-5. They're winning, but it's like, if this keeps up, you know, that defense already looks gassed. So that's part of it. But, yeah, look, it comes down to me to – I think Jeffrey Simmons is going to be a really good player this year for them, and he's going to help that, you know. And another guy last night who was hurt a little bit, looks like he's okay, but I thought made a couple plays, the rookie Laurel Murchison. I like him, you know. So on the interior, I think they can get some stuff done, but the $23 million investment in Beasley and Clowney, that's what you got to see pay off. I just think it's fair to say they haven't done it. I also would not – abandon hope of them doing it.
And another big part, talking about like the time of possession, they just couldn't get off field on third down. Buffalo was 13 of 17 on third down last night.
That's just an unbelievable number to win that game.
Yeah. And win it as comfortably as they did, 13 of 17 on third down.
Like, this is the stat I need, you know. I need how many teams have given up 13 of 17 on third down and won at all, let alone won like that
convincing. By more than 20
points. That's just an incredible. But it's a bad stat for the Titans defense, too. And by the way, speaking of stats, yes, this is Kyle Tucker retweeted this. Kyle Tucker's getting a lot of love this morning on the show. Okay, this is according to NFL research. So the Titans became the first team to score a TD on every red zone possession, have zero turnovers, allow zero sacks since the New England Patriots beat the Bills 56-10 in Week 11 of their undefeated 2007 season.
How do people find these stats?
I have no idea.
Somebody sitting in like a cave somewhere just researching the most random stats.
Bless them, though. I tell you what, those people should be able to find that stat, too. The 13 for 17 third downs, like, that's just – there's just no way that you win a game like that going away. And on that first drive, too, we were talking about that. He had a third and 19 or third and 18. He also had a third and 15. I mean, Josh Allen, early in the game, I'm like, what are they going to do with this guy? This guy is. But then, see, Josh Allen also, he had some open guys that he's throwing like 120-mile-an-hour fastballs at. And yeah. then that pick.
That second pick he threw was brutal.
Well, that was clearly a coverage misread. And Butler talked about that after the game. You know, they baited him there. He did not read the coverage correctly. But there's one. You know, that's one of those moments like, okay, that's the Josh Allen that I thought the NFL was getting.
That's exactly what I said when I saw that play. I was like, there's Josh Allen. He's back.
Now, if you're a Bills fan, look, overall, I thought Josh Allen was really good. He is really good. Give him John Brown back. This team's going to win a lot of football games. They're going to be really good. They're going to be right there. And this could be a playoff preview last night. Probably won't go the same way. I mean, I'm not saying the Bills will win, but
– probably not going to be a 26-point margin victory.
Yeah, if these teams met full strength, all things being normal, most times I think you're getting a heck of a football game.
I put the poll out on Twitter. You know, your Titans are 4-0 now. They've won games in different ways. How far can this team go? All the Titans fans are saying all the way, then go to the Super Bowl. We got two Jags fans that have replied 9-7 and 4-12. 4-12.
Yes. I hope that's our friend Todd.
No, Todd was the 9-7.
Oh, Todd. Okay. Todd's a little more realistic, a little more level headed. Yeah. Oh, man. I tell you what, last night, of teams that were angry, I mean, the Colts couldn't have liked what they saw last night. You know?
No.
You talk about the AFC South race. Long way to go. But. You know, you want, you are hoping that your rival, first of all, with all this stuff going on, and then playing a great team, you get a little help there.
Let's go back to no help at all. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, I totally get the optimism on a potentially special season for this team, but I go back to the 2018 season when we started 3-1 and everyone was high on the team. I try to temper my expectations. I want this team to prove that they can stay focused even while winning. Hopefully Tannehill is the difference between that team or this team and that one. And I think that is the difference. I mean, the quarterback is just a significant upgrade. I mean, it's not even close.
Listen, he's playing at a level Marcus Mariota never played at. Marcus Mariota had a great 2016 season overall, and he had some terrific moments. You can't take it away from him. And he had some amazing games. But every week, you basically know what you're getting with Ryan Tannehill. I mean, here and there, he's thrown one pick this year?
He's thrown one pick, and it was bad.
It was bad, and he tried to throw another one. Like, here and there, he's going to look like a human. But, man, the guy is he's like a robot out there. He's like it's like Robot Jim, you know, Robot Ryan playing quarterback. It's awfully impressive, and that is absolutely a difference. Doesn't guarantee anything moving forward, but if you are that good at that position – a lot of stuff's going to work out for you.
When we come back, we'll continue to get your reaction to the Titans' big win against the Bills. What does it mean for them moving forward? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, how important is it for the Titans to get Adoree Jackson back this Sunday or maybe even against Pittsburgh, even though they're 4-0 without it? We'll talk about that as well. But first, make sure you're there Saturday, November 14th, supporting Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders' 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders' Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Saturday, catch the college football game of the week on ESPN 94.9 presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game is an SEC matchup between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock here on ESPN 94.9. Everybody looking forward to that Alabama and Georgia game, no question about it. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning, reacting to a big Titans win yesterday against the Buffalo Bills. The Titans moved to 4-0, first place in the AFC South. And man, Joe, I still just can't get over, given everything that's happened to them the last couple of weeks and everything they've dealt with from COVID to not practicing to not really knowing who was going to be available for this game until right before the game. It's pretty incredible what they did, especially offensively last night in the red zone.
Yeah, right. That's one of the things you think, okay, maybe that'll just suffer a little bit, you know, the precision. And again, they got two Derrick Henry rushing touchdowns. One of them was kind of late, kind of helped put the game away. But they weren't, you know, pushing the Bills around necessarily. You know, it was Tannehill and it was precision and, with one receiver who is going to be on the field a lot when they're fully healthy or when they're fully available. Of course, Jonnu Smith's a big part of that too in the red zone. But awfully impressive to finish like that. That was a big part of last year's big jump in efficiency with Tannehill's red zone touchdowns, and they're doing it again.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, the Titans seem to have benefited from the added rest and looked rejuvenated. Bills also had key players missing, so no team had any real advantages. At some point, the Titans will play a team that doesn't beat themselves. I do wonder, like, at what point is it other teams beating themselves? And at what point is it just the Titans flat-out beating people?
Yeah. No, like, look, we talked about this earlier, and Titans fans got mad about it. You know, you can't look at this game and not mention – Tre'Davious White, John Brown, Matt Milano. Huge. I'll put them, that's three of the top five players in the team. The other two would be Diggs, and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's your top five players in the team. So in terms of impactful losses, the Bills had more. And I think there is something to the rest. Obviously, you get some guys healthy. A.J. Brown is a huge one of those. Was A.J. Brown going to play if they played it as scheduled? I don't know. Of course, had they played the game that was scheduled originally against Pittsburgh, he may not have played. So some of those guys got healthy, and I agree with all that. But coaches tell us practice matters. I mean, I've lived my whole life believing practice matters. And what you do in the practice shows up in the game.
And look,
right?
It still does. Like, everybody's going to point to this game and be like, well, I guess the Titans don't need practice. Practice still is important.
Right. And that's why you have to also factor that into this. You know, it's pretty amazing to go basically all Zoom calls and execute like this. Not all, but two practices in that amount of time. Man, it's impressive. Now, on the coaching standpoint, like Arthur Smith had extra time to look at things and all that stuff. And they had extra time to look at the Bills, but I still think the whole deal, and you don't know how a team's going to respond to all this. I figure that they would rally around each other because, as Vrabel said, this team is close. This team is built to react to situations well, but you still don't know how someone will react to this situation. I've never seen anything like this before.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, how do you guys feel about Dennis Kelly? He's having a fantastic year, and what does it mean for Isaiah Wilson going forward? Dennis Kelly is 30 years old, but he's on his way to the Pro Bowl this year.
Pro Bowl?
Hey, man.
Dennis Kelly looked good last night. Dennis Kelly's been – it's worked out great. You know, I think the whole thing in the offensive line, I look at Jack Conklin in Cleveland. He's doing great there. They're doing great. They are way better because they're better up front. You know, that was a big problem for them last year. And then you were like, okay, is Dennis Kelly ready to take this on? And, you know, we've talked a lot about those two players. The difference probably in the run game a little bit with Conklin and Kelly. Not much difference in pass protection. And Kelly was great. I thought he was. He was really good last night. He's been good. What it means for Isaiah Wilson, I don't think it changes anything. I think if the Titans come up short this year, of winning it all.
Super Bowl, yeah.
You know, then you can still look at that first-round pick and say, man, could you have gotten a guy somewhere that would have helped you instantly? Because he's not going to help this team in all likelihood this year. I guess I shouldn't rule anything out.
It's unlikely at this point.
But it's unlikely. You know, if you had injuries and stuff and he's forced into action and gets it going, maybe, but – basically, this is going to be a rookie year, and obviously we know about all the troubles that have gone on with him. But it doesn't change to me like he's still the designated future right tackle. And I think that can still time out well with Kelly. And, you know, if Kelly ends up being your swing tackle again down the line, that's not a bad thing to have. He's been awfully good in that role.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty text in, Clowney certainly needs to practice on the cardio, and it is important. Need to stay in shape.
They keep mentioning that on the broadcast, too. Like, oh, he's not in game shape. I'm like, dude. Like,
how long does it take?
I'm like, dude, it's four games, man. Like,
right.
And 16 days on top of these four games. Like, come on, dog. Like, you got to get in game shape. They keep asking, I swear, every time I hear a broadcast. If I hear it against the Texans, I'm just going to turn the TV. Like, well, you know, Clowney's not in condition yet. I'm like, dude, it's been 4 or 5 weeks. Like, he needs to be in condition by now.
But, I mean, it's also – I mean, it gets disrupted, right? I mean, that's the thing, like, for everybody. I did think that last night. And we talked about that earlier. Yeah, there was a lot of time of possession involved too, but I just thought they looked overall, all of them, the whole defense looked tired. And – you don't want to overdo it with excuses, but I do think that if you don't play for that long, there's got to be some kind of effect, right? So maybe it sets him back a little bit too. But, yeah, I mean, we're in mid-October. So in terms of overall condition, he should be fine.
So the Titans have gotten through the first four games undefeated without Adoree Jackson, which if you would have told me that heading into the season, I would have just kind of shaken my head. But here they are. They're 4-0. Hadn't always been pretty. Hadn't always been great on defense either, but they found a way to win all of these games. How important is getting Adoree Jackson back for maybe not the Houston game? That's probably unlikely at this point, but probably Pittsburgh would be your next target date for Adoree Jackson. How important is getting him back? Because it was obvious teams are going to target Jonathan Joseph on the field. They did that last night. Buffalo tried to throw at him as often as they could. Sometimes he struggled. Sometimes he was able to hang in there and make some plays. But he's a guy that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out other teams are going to target as he continues to be on the field just because of the speed aspect of it.
Yeah, it's huge. And the Steelers game, I mean, this weekend, I don't know how the game's going to go, but I'll bet that there are times this weekend with Deshaun Watson extending plays and making plays downfield to what is still a good receiving core that you're going to say, boy, they could use a door ejection.
And maybe more importantly, a fast receiving core.
Right. That's right. They definitely have speed. You know, with the Texans, such a difference when Will Fuller is healthy and playing because he just stretches the field. So they'll miss him, and I think that's a big concern for the Titans. I know the Texans are not having a good year, but it's a tough game on a short week, and it's going to be a challenge for them. And then, yeah, I think for the Steelers game, if they could get Adoree Jackson back with that receiving core, I mean, Chase Claypool, add him to the mix for the Steelers.
Apparently so.
I mean,
my goodness.
I can tell you as a Juju Smith-Schuster fantasy owner, it's been very disappointing that he's getting a lot of attention, and Chase Claypool is just running free down the middle of the field. So, yeah, Adoree Jackson in that game would be huge. I mean, I really am interested to see what this defense looks like if you have him and if you have Fulton back and growing. I do think that last night was really encouraging to get Chris Jackson back out there because you got to have depth there. And I thought he hung in and made some big plays.
Corey in Bellevue texts in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Says, my biggest takeaway from the Titans' win is that the players took individual responsibility in their performance. They didn't let the fact that they hadn't practiced keep them from competing. The team could have folded like most everyone expected, but they played their roles well throughout the game.
Yeah.
I agree.
I didn't think they'd fold. I thought they'd compete. I thought they'd I wimped out yesterday and thought they'd lose by a point. Should have picked them to win, but I definitely thought they would rally together and give a great effort. But you figured there'd be a little bit more sloppiness there and just that some of the guys you were missing would matter more. And I think that's one of the coolest things about that game is guys like Cody Hollister. I mean, Chris Milton gets a huge play on, you know, just the little contributions from guys you don't know. I mean, Aaron Brewer, backup center, lines up at fullback on Derrick Henry's touchdown. Didn't really have an impact on the play, but stuff like
that. Don't you take that away from him. Yes, it did.
I mean, this team, yeah. Well, this team already had that thing going with Raymond in the playoffs last year. You know, sort of the full 53 or the full 48. You know, everybody matters, stuff like that. It's cliches that coaches talk about. But if teams actually get guys like that at the bottom of a roster to do things, I do think that brings a team closer together. Last night was the ultimate example of that.
And going back to the conversation about Dennis Kelly, our friend Bob tweets in, can I take a moment and argue that one of J-Rob's finest acquisitions is Dennis Kelly?
Yes.
Reliable as can be. I mean, I remember when they made that trade and they sent DGB to Philadelphia and brought back Dennis Kelly. Everybody's like, what are you doing? Like, why? How could you get rid of Dorial Green Beckham? And that has turned out to be just a steal of a trade for the Titans.
Big time. No, that is. I mean, it's never going to be when you go through Robinson, you know, you're going to go for the bigger names and stuff like that, you know, and even like drafting a Byard where he did or Jayon Brown. But no, that was a big time trade. Because, yeah, they had just drafted Conklin, they had Lawan, and they so badly needed someone to emerge at receiver. And he was apparently the most talented guy on the roster. That's what we thought. I mean, this is the most talented guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was like, what are you doing? But pretty good one.
When we come back, we're going to continue to discuss the Titans game all show long. Continue to get your reaction on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But some bad news yesterday in the SEC regarding another COVID outbreak heading into this weekend's game. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week has Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers taking on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 kickoff. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Continuing to get your reaction to the big Titans win against the Bills last night, 42-16. Titans moved to 4-0. Taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But, Joe, there was some bad news yesterday in the SEC. Florida has shut down all football activities right now after another coronavirus outbreak with the Gators. They're scheduled to play LSU this Saturday. Right now, not doing any football activities. So it's, I mean, that game very much in jeopardy at this point between Florida and LSU. We've already seen Vanderbilt and Missouri's game get moved off. Starting to see some bad news and some COVID-19 concerns really crop up in the SEC.
Yeah, and, of course, Dan Mullen's sitting there talking about how he needs a full stadium, like just a couple days ago. Then with the Texas A&M, lost that game. He talked about what a great atmosphere it was. And Texas A&M looked pretty packed, but it wasn't full. But it looked pretty full, and I saw some crowd shots, and I was like, man, y'all are close and not masked. But then Mullen, he comes out and says, yeah, let's get that full stadium. The governor's like, hey, let's just pack everything and whatever, and now you have this outbreak. 19 is the reported number.
Yes.
Just take it back a notch, and here we go with the SEC. You know, how much disruption are we looking at with this league? Vanderbilt, Missouri is one thing. This is probably something that the SEC office, frankly, cares about more.
Yes, and it's a different situation, too. You talked about yesterday with Vanderbilt. I mean, they've got 70 scholarship players.
They're already low.
Right.
Yes.
So Florida's got a little bit more wiggle room here in terms of staying above that threshold of 53 scholarship players being available. But the problem is, you know, if you've had 19 positive tests over the past few days, are those going to continue to come out and churn out positive as they continue to move along here? I mean, that's what we don't know.
Right. And, you know, we saw what happened with the Titans. Whatever exactly all went down, we know that certainly there's some incubation period to all of this, right? To the testing negative, then you test positive. And so, okay, who was on the plane going to Texas A&M and all that stuff? I mean, I think with college football, it's sort of just been like, who's testing positive? Okay, move them out and fine. But when you contact trace and everything and consider the incubation period, you know, you could really run into some problems. And so that may be happening now.
And the SEC, they've got, you know, a little bit of wiggle room. There's a couple built-in buys this year in case this happens. We saw Vanderbilt's game against Missouri. It's getting moved to December the 12th, which I believe is a bye week for the entire league right before their SEC championship game. But, I mean, not a whole lot of room. You can't have some of these built up back-to-back where you're having to reschedule and move games all over the place. So, to your point, like, I think the SEC office, when you've got two marquee programs like Florida and LSU, the concern level probably pretty high about this one. Not saying it should necessarily be that way over Vanderbilt and Missouri, but it probably is if we're being honest. And I'm interested to see what they do with this game. Obviously, that's probably going to depend on what continues to come out later today and as we move ahead this week. But you're getting to the point in the week here on Wednesday where you're going to have to make a decision on this game pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. And this is a game that, you know, again, like Vanderbilt, Missouri, it's scheduled for December 12th, tentatively. I mean, look, the bowl game situation this year is such that basically anybody can go to a bowl game. So, like, it's not a game that has to be played. But this game, if you're in the SEC East, although LSU has been hugely disappointing, that's still a team that if you're an SEC East foe of Florida, you're like, hey, they could rise up and win that game. You want Florida to have to play that tough game. So
could be a lot of points scored in that game. Neither defense playing all that well right now.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably also going to affect Texas A&M's game this weekend. And it's weird that it's not like the NFL to where it's like, okay, this team tests positive, and contact tracing, obviously, let's go back to the team they just played in Texas A&M, went into their stadium as well. And so, like, I'm curious to see how college football and the SEC handles that situation because we might not have Texas A&M this weekend either.
Yeah, and hopefully it's just like with the Vikings, like the Vikings and the Titans, you know, where you thought, you know, this could be a problem and now this could impact Vikings-Texans. It didn't. No positives. So hopefully that's the same way here. But you're right. Certainly could impact that. Texas A&M at Mississippi State scheduled for 3 Saturday at Mississippi State.
Yeah. And, you know, if you start rescheduling multiple games during the week if you're the SEC – and then you get into a whole ball of wax. So when you got to make them up, it's just a mess that you'd have to go through at that point. Now, I will say the SEC in a better situation to handle this than the Big 12 would be, or the Big 10 will be they start play, because there is literally zero margin for error with those. I mean, you're pretty much just canceling games at that point.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's very likely that the SEC schedule gets through and it's not everyone playing the 10. And again, that shouldn't be a huge surprise. But the Big 10, I'm really interested to see how they handle this. Because if you are just going about this, I mean, if you're not doing extra stuff for these Big 10 programs, and I know all these programs are trying to do things, but you're still living on campus and you're at a certain amount of risk, that 5% rule for the Big 10, they're going to have so many games that don't happen. I can't imagine how it doesn't go that way.
So we'll see what happens this week with Florida and LSU. Some bad news on that front. Hopefully the testing numbers look better today, but I'll be honest, the trend does not look very promising right now in the Swamp, and I would not be surprised to see this Florida-LSU game get moved, just like Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
did.
But I will say, like, it didn't affect Missouri, so I think Missouri's still on tap to play this weekend. So
what are they looking at?
You know, so obviously it's probably.
Oh wait,
not,
wait, no, Missouri. Who are you talking about?
Well, Missouri, because obviously Vandy had their outbreak.
Oh, you're just saying that Missouri wasn't.
Yeah. So I mean, so Missouri's not affected. They're kind of still on pace to play this weekend. So
well, they're playing Vandy, so they're moved
right.
Off.
They were going to play Vandy.
Oh yeah, that's right. So
yeah. Right, yeah. So their game got canceled, but no fault of their own.
Well, I meant South Carolina. Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, right.
South Carolina. So yeah, I mean they're still on pace to play.
Well, that
so.
Yeah, and that's another team to watch. You know, I mean, now of course now, let's see those yeah, but those teams played 2 weeks ago. So yeah, I mean look, it, just like with all this stuff, you have that ripple effect, and hopefully it's the on field stuff. You know, just isn't a big spreading thing. So far, it looks that way.
Yeah, and that's encouraging because, you know, heading into this season, I wouldn't have thought that. But it seems like playing the game on the field to this point has not proved to be like a super spreader event, which, fingers crossed, it stays that way. Because, you know, sometimes you just don't catch these tests in time and players go out there and play. And you just got to cross your fingers at that point that nothing bad happens there. So we'll continue to monitor Florida and LSU as we move ahead this week. Let's get back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going back into the Titans, we've got a text that says, I don't know if you've talked about this or not, but I wish Tannehill would not ever jump up like that again going into the end zone.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's the first thing I said on the show, right?
Yeah, Titans like, fans like,
what about that? Oh, that was scary.
Just all, I think, almost collectively passed out last night when he did that.
Yeah, that was. Again, I've seen it. I can probably figure out who it was. I've seen this happen before. A celebration, I think, of a sack, and a guy blew his ACL out. It was a Lions linebacker, of course.
of course.
And it reminds me also, if anybody remembers, this is going back now, but Gus Frerotte, anybody remember this one?
Oh, yeah.
The team formerly known as the Redskins, the Washington football team, he went in, scored a touchdown, and just smashed his head into the – and he was concussed, but he might have hurt his neck, too. Like, it was bad.
It was bad.
But, yeah, that one was just weird. And that right knee, that leg, seriously buckled. There's a picture of that. There's a still picture of Tannehill, and it looks really awkward. And, yeah, like you look at that, and he's laughing, everything's fine, and he played fine after that, but that could have been bad.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brett from Dover text in, I love the aggressiveness from Vrabel to go for it on fourth down. Late in the fourth already, up two scores, instead of settling for the easy field goal. Just shows the confidence he has in this team. I did think going kind of for the kill shot there, it was kind of different than the Mike Zimmer situation. You're up a little bit more in the game.
Yeah.
There's a lot less on the line if you miss that conversion, but I wasn't surprised that Vrabel did that and went for it on fourth down.
Yeah, definitely went for the kill, and they, you know, threw for a TD that, yeah, Tannehill may have been past the line, may have not, but to me that throwing there, I was like, oh, really? Throwing there, okay. Throwing for a TD.
John texted in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 28 teams have allowed at least 13 third down conversions in a single game since 1970. The Titans became just the third team to win while giving up that many conversions and the only team to win by more than four.
Yeah, that Mike Herndon, I retweeted that a few minutes ago. So I don't know who texted that in, but that's where I saw it. Mike Herndon tweeted that a little while ago. That's there you go. That's, I mean, think about that. Four times, what did it say? Three teams have won?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, only 28 have even allowed that. That's probably the most amazing part of that stat. So you're talking 50 years of football, and 28 teams have allowed 13 conversions in all that time. You know, it's actually amazing that many won those games.
Yeah.
But
nobody by more than four.
Yeah,
until
certainly
last night.
There's no one who's ever done it who has won by blowout.
And it'd be one thing if, like, the Bills turned the ball over, like, six times. Like, then you're like, okay, I understand. They turned it over twice. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, but feel, you know, you also get the big return. Well, no, wait, they turned it over three times.
Yeah, three times, excuse me. Yeah.
You got
the fumble on there, yeah.
Which, again, was garbage
game's
time.
Over, but, yeah.
But still, yeah.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in. Let's talk about that monster stiff arm. I think, you know, the 4-0 start and everything, and the way the Titans played offensively, that's all great, and people love that if you're a Titans fan. What everybody's talking about right now is a stiff arm.
Yeah.
Like, they could care less about the game. It's just a stiff arm.
A play that didn't count will get replayed a million times more than every other play in this game.
As it should. It was beautiful.
It was very disrespectful. I mean, yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think if I can think of, like, a more disrespectful stiff arm that I've ever seen. I can't really think of one.
I will say that you mentioned it earlier in the show, but the Earl Bennett one, because he
Earl
basically
Thomas.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, not Earl Bennett. He definitely would stiff arm Earl Bennett.
Yes, he would.
Into oblivion. But yeah, basically, like, taking Earl Thomas and shoving him to use him as a lead blocker
that was
pretty
awesome.
Good. And a couple of those stiff arms on that 99-yard run were awfully good. Some stuff he's done to Jalen Ramsey. But, yeah, that was – to make a guy go horizontal like that. You know,
it almost looked like Josh Norman flopped. Like, I know he didn't, but it almost was, like, so egregious that it looked like, you know, like Tyler Hero a couple weeks ago in the NBA – or last week in the NBA Finals, LeBron was driving to the hole and gave him, like, a little forearm shiver, and Tyler Hero dove to the side of the corner over there. I was like, oh, my goodness. It almost looked like that with Josh Norman. But it's just sheer power.
But, yeah,
from Derek,
I mean,
Henry.
He was airborne.
Somebody, Ryan in Nashville, text in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do you think the next time Henry stiff arms a Bills player like he did to Josh Norman, they should put a table on the field for them to break?
Check my Twitter feed.
I mean, people have been doing that on Twitter.
Look, if Josh Norman gets embarrassed again in this league, which he has been countless times
in his
career, not the first time by a Heisman Trophy winner, by the way, when Cam Newton grabbed him like by his jersey and the picture is like Cam Newton smiling
looking over,
and Josh
like
Norman
he's his dad.
Is like, help me. Like, this is not the first time Josh Norman has gotten embarrassed. He gets embarrassed one more time, it's not going to be a table. It's going to be a coffin. A coffin for his career. Because that's where his career is going at this point.
I tell you what, he looked really bad. Like stiff arm aside, everybody's going to talk about that. He doesn't look very good. He used to be, you know, one of the top corners in the game. It looks like he's just washed up.
Yeah, you remember he was trying to get in that Richard Sherman, Patrick Peterson conversation, and there's a little beef stirring over there, and then all of a sudden, Patrick Peterson's still playing well. Richard Sherman's obviously still playing well with the 49ers.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing, and then you got Josh Norman.
Yeah, he's on the decline.
Which is funny, because like Levi Wallace is on that team. He was like a late draft pick from Alabama. I did not expect Levi Wallace to be a better cornerback than Josh Norman. Yeah. If you would have told me at Levi Wallace at Alabama, which he was like good at Alabama, shut down corner, but the way he got drafted, I was like, probably not gonna make it in the league. And if you would have told me, like, oh, Levi Wallace is going to be way better than Josh Norman, I'd have been like, come on, man, you're crazy.
I mean,
but sure enough,
Josh Norman is, he's definitely going the wrong way. Hey, those Saban defensive backs, man.
Got to watch out for them.
They're pretty good.
When we come back, a marquee player in the NFL now available on the market. Should the Titans take a look at him? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning. Talking Titans, a big win against the Buffalo Bills last night to move to 4-0. And Joe, there is now a marquee player, at least a former marquee player, I guess is probably more fair to call him, on the market. Le'Veon Bell released yesterday by the New York Jets. He's been on IR for most of the season, and just Le'Veon Bell, he's just not the same guy as he used to be in Pittsburgh. But it gets you thinking, if you're the Titans or other teams around the league, what would it look like with Le'Veon Bell on your team? Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, Evans can't stay healthy. Le'Veon is getting paid by the Jets, so he might take $3 million to be our backup running back or pass catcher on a one-year deal. Should the Titans even entertain the thought of bringing in Le'Veon Bell at this point?
I don't think so.
Even with Evans being hurt?
I guess you look at that situation, and if you're concerned about it, then maybe. But and here's, like, I know what some people will say on the Le'Veon Bell front. Talk about personality or whatever, like, would he mess up the locker room? So I covered Le'Veon Bell's college career, and I know that doesn't necessarily, translate to now, but I do think that stuff's a little overblown. I know the whole thing in Pittsburgh went down the way it did, and basically he was committed to getting himself to free agency. It didn't work out the way he wanted, but he wanted, the freedom to go out and be on the market. He hasn't been the player, obviously, close to what he was in Pittsburgh. So it's interesting with him because it's like, first of all, I think he's a terrific player. He was amazing in Pittsburgh, but that was also this loaded offense. So how much did it help him? And then how much has it hurt him just being with that awful Jets team?
Yeah, like,
it's hard to evaluate.
Just another case
him.
Of Adam Gase just running people in the ground.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's some more. Yeah, there's some Gase talk as it relates to Tannehill right now. As people watch him, it's like, man, what if he didn't have it? Although, again, like, Tannehill's best seasons in Miami were with Gase, for the record. But the Bell's hard to know with him because it's so bad with the Jets. But I mean, my first instinct on that is no, I don't think he'd be interested in that. I think Le'Veon Bell probably still wants to be somewhere where he would be the primary back. I mean,
there are some options out there where that could happen.
Yeah. So I guess you can't completely discount anything altogether on this, but I'd be surprised if the Titans gave that any kind of serious look.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, Robbie, that's the worst question I've ever heard. Bell is a locker room and a team cancer.
Yeah,
asking that
go.
Question on the air is worse than cussing. Be on the lookout for the FCC.
Yeah, so
I don't know if it's that bad.
Yeah, so I'll come back on that. That's what I was trying to say. I knew people would say that, the locker room cancer thing. I mean, you show me the evidence that he's a locker room cancer. I mean, I understand people don't like some of the stuff he said publicly. He got in trouble for smoking weed. He ticked off his teammates.
Well, didn't he say something when Jamal Adams got traded or wanted to get traded? Of like wanting, he kind of criticized that a little bit, the way Jamal Adams handled that. So
he's been outspoken.
He's
for
been
sure.
outspoken about that. So maybe that's the reason why people think about that. So, but I'm like, that doesn't make you a locker room cancer.
Right.
He's not even in your locker room anymore.
He's ticked people off the stuff he said. He's gotten in trouble, for pretty minor stuff. And he ticked off the Steelers when he wanted to, not play that year and didn't play and all that. And he got himself free agency. Locker room cancer. Is going way
yeah,
too
I mean,
far.
He may be a
– There's nothing to suggest that.
Yeah, he may be a bad rapper.
He's
not a good rapper.
He's a horrible rapper.
He's a bad rapper.
But I wouldn't call him a locker room cancer. No. He's a terrible rapper.
No.
His name is Juice, by
no
the way.
And yes.
His rap name
cancer,
is Juice.
No. Bad rapper, yes. What? Yeah, what's his name again?
Juice.
Yeah.
Which
hasn't gone well, Le'Veon.
Keep it away, Juice. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan text in, watch Le'Veon Bell go to the Buccaneers and be the number one back. Would you be surprised? Like, Buccaneers just loading up.
Just
got
sign
McCoy
everybody.
There already.
I actually think.
Sign everybody.
I think Chicago might be an option.
Yeah, Chargers too, like with Eckler being out.
Yeah, I think Chicago only because, like, David Montgomery's, like, good. But if, like, Cordell Patterson is your backup running back, that's pretty bad. That's a problem. And David Montgomery hasn't really burst out there yet. And also another team like the Dolphins, I like Miles Gaskins is good, but he's not going to be a running back that's going to crack 100.
That's a good call. I think the Bears is a good call. I don't think they're very good, but I think Bell is going to want to go to a winning team.
I mean the Bears are winning, though.
You mean the Jets aren't a winning team?
Well,
my goodness.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the Bears, even though they're not good, they are a winning team, and I think you're right. They really need something at running back. Chargers could be interesting. I wouldn't even think he'd give a look here because he's not a change of pace to Derrick Henry enough. Like, the thing about Evans, I like last night before he got hurt, I mean, you saw how quick he got to the edge. You need speed at the other spot.
You do, but he can't
catch.
That's
not Le'Veon.
He can catch.
He's
much better receiver than Derrick Henry is.
Oh, no doubt.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in. So they ought to call Child Protective Services looking for Derrick Henry for abusing Norman like that with the move he had on the stiff arm. And secondly, how much did they miss Jeffrey Simmons last night on the pass rush?
They missed him.
They missed him, but also, like, the pass rush hasn't been great with him in there.
Right.
Like, he's had his moments where he's generated, you know, that rush up the middle, but it hadn't been great. Like, it's not like the pass rush has just been, you know, consistently good with him in there.
No, I think
that's still a problem.
There's probably 3, 4, 5 plays in last night's game, if he plays, where he just wrecks it. And that's kind of what we've seen, right?
Yeah.
And late against Minnesota, certainly. I mean, he got the 15-yard penalty, but that bull rush basically took the interior of the line and just shoved them into Kirk Cousins. You know, certainly you miss it. But like you said, Robbie, it has not yet all come together, worked together to give them the pass rush they've certainly invested in having. So a lot of it still comes down to those two in particular guys, Clowney and Beasley. A couple times last night on third downs, I was surprised Beasley was not on the field. He's kind of been that, you know, the pass rushing sub-package guy. He was not even out there.
And Landry did get home once last night and get a sack, which was a big sack at the time too. So maybe that's the start. We've seen it with Harold Landry. There are times where he goes on a 2 or 3 week hot streak and he looks really good. Titans could use that right now because they haven't really had it to start this season.
Yeah, and so Sunday now, another guy who they'll throw different things at him. And they may get in his face. It's not a very good offensive line, but talk about a guy who extends plays and makes it hard to tackle him. I mean, they're going from Josh Allen to Deshaun Watson. They're going to love, as much as it's not fun to play Ben Roethlisberger, they're still going to love.
He's not moving very much.
Yeah, a guy who they can at least locate him in the pocket.
When we come back, we'll continue to break down the big Titans win from last night. Eric Bacharach from the Tennessean will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rextro live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.